We'd like you to give us your opinion on some clothes for teenagers.
Oh, by all means, I'd be quite prepared for that eventuality.
Well, not your real opinion, naturally. It'll be written out and you'll learn it. Can you read?
Of course I can.
I mean lines, Ducky. Can you handle lines?
Well, I'll have a bash.
Good. Give him whatever it is they drink. A Coca-Rama?
A guitar?
Well, at least he's polite. Show him the shirts, Adrian. Now, you'll like these. You'll really dig them. They're fab and all the other pimply hyperboles.
I wouldn't be seen dead in them. They're dead grotty.
Grotty?
Yeah, grotesque.
Make a note of that word and give it to Susan.
I guess I should go to sleep. Too hard standing on my own two feet. Been walking too long on a dead end street. I guess I should go.
And welcome to the Unable Movie Podcast. This is
Andrew. This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And if your ears feel extra good this week, it's because we've upgraded our equipment. If it sounds extra shitty, it's because we've upgraded some equipment.
That is a good note. It could go either way. Guys, Christmas just happened. Merry Christmas.
Yes. It's a war on Christmas. Happy holidays.
And Happy New Year when that comes.
I mean, unless it's China, they don't celebrate it.
Yeah, man, this is going to be our last episode before we do our top 10.
Mm-hmm.
How's that coming along?
I know top 1 through 5 is just Mad Max, and then there's like some other movies.
I think I like 3 movies this year.
I know I love Mad Max. I'm sure the Star Wars will do. Blow it out of the water, right?
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
It is the best Star Wars.
You guys know me.
Damon, if you love Star Wars, it's the best Star Wars.
Me and George Lucas is like this, son.
But he has nothing to do with that.
Damn it.
So I don't know what your sarcasm is for.
There's still laser swords in that movie. I'm sorry, lightsabers? Right.
Isn't that a plus? Like, don't you love
lightsabers? No, right, that's all I want.
Okay, all right.
Is there a lot of lightsabering? Is that what you call it?
There is a good amount of lightsabering. Good.
Of laser swords.
There are also laser guns. Blasters? No?
Not doing anything for me at all.
There are people in black clothing.
That's racist.
With masks.
Mm-hmm. Racist.
Shrouded voices.
Continues to be racist. So,
Andrew, there's a Twitter account called Emo Kylo Ren. And
why did they need
I'm
emo?
Pretty sure that Coretta's been the one that's been retweeting it. Why? But I thought I stopped following him. Either way, somebody on my stream keeps retweeting their tweets. And it's fucking hilarious.
Those things are always fun for like a week.
Yeah.
Like part of me want to know who the hell Kylo Ren is, but I know it has something to do with Star Wars.
He's
so I don't give a shit.
Darth Vader Jr. Pretty much.
He's the guy in the black mask.
He's the new one, right?
Yeah, the new one.
The one with the three.
The one with the laser. The laser guards.
Right.
Yes.
Because he's a real man's man.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Anyways, this week.
Yes.
Douglas brought the Christmas chair.
Yep.
Bringing
in the Christmas.
With the film Goodnight Mommy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he saw the title and said, I need to tell my mother goodnight. And said, yeah.
Wer ist das? Bist nicht unsere Mama. Bitte komm zurück, Mama. Ich mache alles. Jetzt kann sie uns nicht mehr auseinanderhalten.
Yeah, so where to start with this movie, Andrew?
It's great.
It's something special.
I'd recommend starting with children.
Tony the Tiger.
This movie is just, it's one of those movies.
Babadook. Babadook.
Wait, hold on, hold on. Are you bringing that up as a good thing? I'm confused because that movie's phenomenal.
He hates
that movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why would you bring up that movie, David? That's conflicting emotions.
Like,
right there.
I want to bring up the other one that you guys made me watch from your boy M. Night, but it had the rapping child.
I actually like that.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's nothing pretty good about this movie.
When's Killer Mike going to get on that show?
Ah, Jesus. So good. Right, what were we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about Goodnight Mommy. Mm-hmm. This movie is about two children who aren't quite sure that their mommy is really their mommy.
Right.
Because it looks like she's had some sort of plastic surgery and there are bandages. Right. But she's just not acting right. You know? She's not mommy.
Right.
She's not, you know, tucking them into bed properly.
And so they take steps to verify her genuineness.
Yes. Unfortunately, this verification goes poorly. And
as you'd expect, they're 10-year-old or something like that.
So there are some physical repercussions. Mommy doesn't feel so good after a little while in this movie. Let's just put it that way.
She looked good for about 10 seconds.
He gets German.
Yeah.
And then...
This movie, the thing about this movie is it's hard to talk about. I guess, I don't even know what to say this movie is. It's kind of suspensey. It's kind of, it's just kind of bad.
It has a little bit of the body horror thing that people...
Yeah.
People like to call it torture porn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it doesn't go full on like it doesn't go as deep as some of those other movies.
It's not soft.
This is not even soft core. Right. This is more like there were a couple of nude scenes. Like that's about as far as this movie goes.
Cinema.
Yeah. no, more like HBO Plus.
Yeah, I saw Blue is the Warmest Color on HBO Plus.
All right, fair enough.
I saw that on Netflix.
Yeah.
So does Netflix peddling porn? Child pornography.
I found it kind of funny when I added on Showtime to the Hulu. I don't see it in the PS4 app or the Android app, but if you go on the website and you just go to the Showtime section and scroll down far enough, you'll see the adult piece of Showtime.
Wow.
And all of those things that come on at like 3 a.m. The 14-year-olds.
Oh, yeah, you guys don't have the internet, right? 3 o'clock in the morning is your time. Oh, you found the internet? Just ignore this.
Yeah. But, guys, this movie, you know.
It's beautiful.
It
was shot on.
It is quite
pretty. It was lovingly shot on 35
minutes. It's
kind of
pretty. But this movie has. You know what my problem with this movie is?
It's boring.
So, yes, it does. This movie could have been okay if it didn't spend so long being this movie. Right?
It's a pretty good review.
It kind of painstakingly went through all of the motions in order to get to the end result, and it didn't need to do that. It was about 5 hours too long. But even getting past that, even if we kind of condensed it, it still wouldn't have been anywhere near perfect, because there were a couple of things that just irked me. And, you know, one of those was that there was something that I pointed out from day one. From like minute five, I said, hold on. Mm-hmm. I feel like this Shyamalan-esque twist thing is coming, and there was some level of twisterification in this film. And it just didn't feel good, because, you know, a piece of it is that I called it out and I don't like when that happens. Also, a piece of it, I think it is that Damon came in and so I started to actively make fun of the movie. Because, I mean, I do that sometimes, but...
Mm-hmm. That can be a good or a bad thing.
Yeah.
We've actively made fun of movies and love those movies.
Oh, yes.
And
what movie? Oh, I watched Mad.
We'll talk about it.
Magic Mike XXL the other day. And actively making fun of that movie still made that movie so great.
Still love that movie.
But anyway.
Is it a good movie?
No.
Do I love
it? Say, mm-hmm. Is it a good movie? Mm-mm. Because it is good at what it does.
No, it isn't. A shitty road movie.
But this movie that we're talking about here, I don't even want to spend time talking about it. It's not that good. There's some active twists that are broadcast from the beginning. It's, you know, a little bit just, it's just fucking bad. Can I not talk about this anymore? Damien, just take me out of my misery.
This movie, it is...
Right.
Oh, sorry.
Is it plugged in?
They invested in a soundboard, so you'll be hearing a lot of extra shenanigans.
That'll be in the weeks to come.
Right. The movie's dull because it spends, as Douglas said, it spends a lot of time trying to set up the twist. But the twist can only be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
As Damien is used to deducing, because you are a smart person, right?
No, I just have seen enough. It has nothing to do with smart. It's just that...
You pulled a Sherlock Holmes. You
no, there's so many of these movies. The thing that annoys me is that I don't even watch that many of these movies, and I'm still there before them, right? I was before this movie gets there. I'm like, this is what is happening. But I don't... For people who enjoy horror movies, and I know a couple of them.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I've heard that you find it difficult to talk to those people.
I do, because they're wrong about life and movie choices. But they appreciate when, you know, a movie sticks to the formula and just executes well. Because all horror movies are kind of following the same template, with the exception of like 2-3 of them.
Babadook.
Not that one, that's for sure. Trick or Treat and Cabin in the Woods.
Krampus.
Krampus is pretty good. But this movie.
You saw Krampus. I didn't know you were gonna watch it.
Yeah, I didn't think you would.
It's okay.
I like Krampus.
Yeah. This movie is formulaic. You see what, like, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's not a situation where, oh, even if I didn't know what was happening, it would have made the movie better when the twist came. No. The only thing that I enjoyed about the movie was the end, and it's because I'm a terrible person. At the end of the movie, something happens, and there is a way of looking at it when the family is reunited. And I chose to... think that this is spoilery, but
a possibility.
Yeah, it's probably the wrong possibility, right?
Yeah, I took it that he was crazy, he saw one, and since he arranged for another,
mm-hmm. He got the other.
Yeah.
The movie tried a misdirect. It's like, no, this is not the thing that's happening. That is the thing that's happening. But then they kind of let that go. Like, they didn't follow through with the misdirect. I think if they had done that, it would have made for a more interesting movie. And it would have set up a, even if not a better twist, a crazier twist. But they didn't. It's just one scene that feels out of place in the movie. And when you get to the twist, you're like, you guys, like, you just did that. That shot was entirely for the sake of trying to, you know, run interference. But the movie, like, it's dull. There's just two kids doing this shit, and you're watching it not really enjoying it. Like, there's nothing. There's no substance there. There's nothing.
It's not even that it needs substance, but you need to be engaged, right? Yeah. They didn't build up the suspense or the. They didn't bring you in, right? So there are movies like this where you want to be there and you want to see how far they go down that rabbit hole, but it never gets you there.
one of the parties should have been more aggressive throughout the movie. Yeah. Like, if the mother came back and just lost it because, you know, whatever happened, and she's just blaming one of the children for what happened, and she was just not having any of it, and the only way the children could find a way out was to take the steps that they took, you'd have gone, all right. But she was passive the entire time. And then their aggression to her only really picked up in the final act. And so there's like an hour of not much happening.
Exactly.
Right? And one of them should have gone, you know what?
But you know what, too, is and let's take a step back for a moment. This is just a poorly executed movie, because let's now use a case study, right? Let's talk about We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Right?
That is this movie done right. Done more than right. I know there are a couple other bells and whistles that are added in the story, but at its core, it's kind of, it at least deals with the same sort of thing, right? With a son or a child just
taking issues on their parents.
Right? And that's what this movie is.
You're invested in Tilda Swinton's character because you see that she has been put through it.
Yeah.
And by the time you're introduced to Kevin as a teenager, you go, oh, bad things are about to happen.
Exactly.
And so when shit pops off in the third act, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know, in this movie, so the mother starts out with a bandaged face, which you can say, all right, well, maybe she had plastic surgery. Right. Or perhaps there was some form of accident. I don't know. And
then she's like, keep quiet. And like, oh yeah, that's medicine. You know? Oh no. I can't see why they don't think she's the mother. Because what parent after surgery would want peace and quiet?
Yeah.
I see you children.
I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to build it poorly. They're trying to build this sort of feeling that somebody somewhere in here is sinister. But it just isn't. You know, it doesn't work, right? What ends up happening is I get bored trying to be like, all right, fine, who's right and who's wrong?
Who wins? Like, who wins? Just end. I can stop watching this. I know, though, we are bad-mouthing this movie, but Andrew loves this movie. So I think we should...
Yeah, we should let Andrew talk about how much he loves this movie.
I think you guys are wrong. Uh-huh. Not because you dislike this movie. Because you're just wrong.
Right. For wrong sake.
Can use that bit for when I'm not here.
Wrong for wrong sake.
I did not like this movie.
No shit.
I was not a big fan.
I think you... At some point in the movie, made some analogy to a Shyamalama movie, which is never a good sign.
I do want to know when he had the time, because
his German is impeccable.
Really difficult language.
He learned to rap, then he learned German. He's putting out hot bangers ever since.
I think it was on the set of The Visit, like one of the actors must have been like German origin and the new language and whatever. So, let me be positive. Let me be more positive about this movie. Because I know this doesn't surprise you guys. Won't surprise you guys. But I didn't quite get the final twist. I heard you guys like throwing it out there. Because I'm like...
You're too busy laughing at this stupid movie.
When I threw it out there, right? I threw out the joke about whether it's either one thing or the other. And I can't remember what the other one was. Oh, that the mother was fucking with him, right?
Yeah. That would have been glorious.
That would have been hilarious, That was really because by that point, I was just so bored of the movie. Yeah. I just started
That would have been such a better
twist. But literally, Andrew, from like 2 or 3 minutes in, I was like, I bet you this is what it is. But I started to doubt myself a little bit because the movie was playing it so straight for a long time.
And then there was a scene with the mother, and like, all right. Yeah. And then they just threw all of that away.
Because the thing is that I started to believe the children. I started to question whether the mother...
Never believe children. All right, guys. They're children.
All right.
Just assume they're wrong.
All it is that they want the cookies. Don't give them the cookies. They've had enough sugar. They've had enough sugar.
Think about when you were children. You were wrong literally 100%.
But it's actually something that I've been thinking about the last year or so. And one of the things that brought this up, and I just kind of copy and pasted the same sort of thought process to this, is the Bill Cosby stories mm-hmm. of the last year.
Like the real stories?
The real stories. Okay. Where so many people brought up mm-hmm. all of those allegations and started to make their assessments and their decisions on what was happening or what wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to bring up the question to people, and not many people had a good answer
mm-hmm.
because there really isn't one. To what would you do in that situation? Right?
Smile.
Someone has thrown out the allegation.
Look them in the face.
Right? And there are two ways this can go. Number one, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to prove it.
No, they have to prove it.
Right? But more importantly, if it is true, he is a horrible person and mm-hmm. deserves all these things. Number two, it is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? However, the fact that that word is out there, it mm-hmm. brings a lot of trouble to the other person for literally no reason other than someone said it.
What was the name of that
right?
movie with
The Hunt?
With Matt.
Is another one.
Yeah.
Actually, a real life story about something that apparently has been proved wrong is the guy that you just found out about, Conor Oberst.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, somebody said publicly that yeah, he raped me, mm-hmm. and maybe 6 months later they were like, yeah, sorry. Fucking made that shit up. So,
but
yeah.
But no matter, like, other than the only certainty
mm-hmm.
in that scenario is the fact that it happened is proven scientifically true. Every other scenario
mm-hmm.
kind of doesn't make a difference because the word is out there.
if you're famous enough, you can sweep. You can have all of it be pushed to the background.
You can try, right? And some people are successful.
You can get it done.
Right? But even the least, even not famous people, even just like regular people, like, just
yeah,
like
regular
the
people, I don't know.
I don't know. Just like,
regular
just like,
people do have PR machines.
Just like The Hunt,
yeah.
It becomes about the perception in this small community.
Right.
Right? And that is what was running through my mind throughout this movie, where I'm like, okay, I don't trust children. They're probably just crazy.
Right.
And then as it kept going,
I continued to not trust children.
I started to ask the question more and more. Like, what if they're right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they're just going deep down this rabbit hole of commitment to... And it messed with me. Right? To the point at which when the turn happened, I'm like, oh, shit. That's really weird. But at the same time, for the mass of this movie, it was kind of boredom. And I wasn't enjoying it. It wasn't until like that last half an hour.
No, the last barrage. You're like, alright, we've saved all of this up for the third act.
And literally, I wouldn't even call that a barrage.
Right.
It was like a fairly strong trickle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As opposed to the arid wasteland. So what I'd have done differently in this movie is start the movie with the third act. So them like doing the stuff to the mother and then having her escape. And then the rest of the movie is how she deals with them. Right? But you still wouldn't know, like at no point you'd have known which one of them are, but that would at least trigger extreme behavior on both sides. Because you'd see them do that and you're like, why are they doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, like, somehow she escapes and she's like, all right, people know that I have these children here. I have to kill them before they kill me. How do I do this without going to, because she is going to think about the after their children. They don't have any sense. How do I murder these two fuckers and get away with it? Because I just survived an accident and these motherfuckers have come here. You know, yeah, I've liked seeing that. Because then you'd have had things happening in the movie. But none of that took place.
Yeah.
It just ended And
with loving 35mm.
Oh, that part really, really did annoy me.
Really? Why?
It's like, even for this movie, it seems pretentious. Like, guys, alright, look, I get it. I get it. But hey, calm. Like, let's take this way, way down.
What you're it's saying just, then.
People shoot movies
much,
on iPhone.
What you're saying.
Tangerine is a better movie than this. I was shot on garbage.
Tangerine.
I was shot on garbage.
Second of all.
Is it a better movie than this? Yes, it is.
Did you?
Yes, it is.
So every
you
time,
enjoy that third act.
So every time you see an the ad pimp. For the Hateful Eight and the seats are 70
minutes. Yeah, as I was about to say that,
yeah,
the only person that can be pretentious clearly is
no, because
Tarantino.
A, I haven't seen any of those ads. And B, Tarantino has been, he's proven himself an asshole for years.
Yeah.
Right? So he does that because he's a piece of garbage. But, you know, like, why? Like, even in his case, why is that necessary? Like, even if it matters, even if
it
matters,
to tell us?
Right, to tell us, even if it matters to him, that is fine. That's great news. Most people won't see your movie the way you think you're going to. They should see the movie. That's just a fact. People aren't going to. There's not enough 70mm projectors in the world to show unless you want 5 people to watch it. Just cut the shit. Right?
He could just sell it to Martin Shkreli for
$10. Right. No, he's gone to prison. It's too late for him.
Oh, that story.
So good.
But the truth of the matter is what it is it's exactly what movies have always done throughout the years. It's making a reason for you to get up and go to the theater. Even if it's just that one city which has a 70mm projection or the 35 or still does 35mm film projection, the people who see that and it is a positive for
are dirtbags. And it should be thrown
will,
in the fire.
They will make it a point to go and see it that way. Just like when, just like how so many blockbusters nowadays go actual IMAX footage shots.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those people get up and go, alright, I have to watch that one at the IMAX more than any other blockbuster. As opposed to me going to the regular theater to go and watch it, which is an extra surcharge or whatever. And for everyone else who gets it digitized and just a digital projector, they don't have a choice. And if they're going to watch it, they're going to watch it at the end of it. So
I didn't get to watch the director's vision. Is that what the people who want to see it in 70mm and don't see it say to themselves? Huh? Do they cry themselves to sleep?
They do.
It's depressing.
Their pillows are very wet from tears.
I understand. I went to throw away my TV and buy myself a whatever the hell that thing is called. Assholes. It just seems unnecessary. Thanks.
Is that also because you don't have those things here?
No. No, it always did seem honest. Like, 3D was a gimmick, right? They're like, shot in 3D because they want people to put on the 3D glasses or whatever, right? But, like,
Damien,
it's like
never going away, right?
No,
like,
I understand.
I'm
but
so upset.
What if someone says, this movie was shot in 8K? Like, oh my god. Oh, shot in 8K. Sure, I'm going to see it barely 720p. And there's like an 8K projector somewhere. Like, market, like, numbers should matter for phone. You get me? Right, like, it's not a piece of equipment, right? What they're selling is a movie. Like, the movie is what is important. I understand that the director of his has his preference to how he's going to shoot the movie in 70 or in IMAX or whatever. But at the end of the day, he knows, and I know, that they're going to put that shit on a Blu-ray at some point. And all bets are off. How do you watch Blu-rays? Do you project it? No.
What?
Do you project it? How many people do you know that has a projector that loves movies? Like a half a person.
Does my company projector come out when they put the presentations on it?
Right. No. Right.
The thing about it, Damien, is it's, as I said, it's just advertising.
It feels
right?
Dickish.
And some people like Nolan and Tarantino and Paul Thomas Anderson. Some of them, they have a valid love Right?
And that's fine.
And it's their own personal preference. And I still love seeing the stories of them where you see that they are literally the people holding up that, right. that world. Right? Where if it weren't for like those four names, right promised certain amounts of production for the next how many years, that Kodak would not exist in producing film. Right? They already were ready to shut it down. Right? As someone who jumped up and down when I got to see The Master in 70mm,
was it a better movie when you saw it in 70?
I think it was. Actually, no, the truth of the matter is that it's one of those things that I started to take note of a lot more, the film digital thing, like not just as a business, but as a as like a visual aesthetic, because
you're a monster.
there are so many movies where digitally they try to make it look like that for the sake of whatever. So like there's Grindhouse, which did it ridiculously, which everyone found fun because those people knew what it was like to go to a movie theater and 3 months later see a print look like that, right? Or 10 years later see it look like that. I don't think we've ever experienced that.
No, I live in this country.
We don't have movies that last that long. Right? Even in the days when it was film, like maybe we got some used up prints because that business works like that. They go from town to town and then they reach us, right? Which is how we got them so late sometimes. But the digital. The digitization of that aesthetic is always something that's questionable. I always found it more interesting to hear some of the stories as it related to the actual manipulation of the medium. So when I would hear Soderbergh talk about overexposing film, when I would watch Buster Keaton double expose, and I'd see how that would happen. And I mean, I know how digital is easy to do these things in Photoshop or Video Studio or whatever the frig. Final Cuts, right? But when I watch things like Traffic, when I watch things like Sherlock Jr., you can kind of tell the difference. No, does that make the movie intrinsically better
than
if it was digital? Not really.
He's better than what you're saying is, look at me, I'm better than your digital nonsense.
Is this just something to appreciate? Just like when I watch older movies, like when we talked about Orpheus, and we saw some of the visual tricks that they did in that, and you're like, we kind of appreciate that a lot.
Right. But Orpheus didn't go, shot on film.
But back then, movies would go, it was shot in CinemaScope.
Yeah.
And people would go and watch it.
That's the person. Yeah. So it's always been a thing.
It's always been like that, because
Technicolor.
Movies have to compete with what we can watch at home. They have to get more every time. They have to give you, the consumer, not us, because we're dumb idiots.
I don't like being wrong.
People, a reason to get up out of your house and go to the theater.
All they have to do is put Star Wars in front of it. People
that is one way to do it.
Shot in 90mm.
Damien, as VOD becomes more and more popular.
I'm sorry, what's VOD?
Video on demand. And more movies are finding ways to get there quicker. Do you think that the theater, the cinema, will die?
I mean, I want our theater to die. It's what I want. That is what I want, but it's not going to happen.
How much money would you give out so that your house would become your theater? And I don't mean in hardware. I mean just like per film kind of discussion.
That is part of my long-term plans for that house. To do exactly that. I'm going to spend a lot of money. Whatever they charge, essentially. Like, if I had the money, of course, I'd have been doing this a long time. But they charge a lot of money. If they made it more reasonable. Like, if they said to me, alright, Damien, to watch this movie when it comes out, we'll send you this file, and you have 24 hours or whatever it is to watch it. And you get it day and date with when the movie releases, I'd pay, say, $100 for that. Yes, but yeah, but
her movie.
Yeah.
Especially for people like us. Well,
but if you get it people day like and
me
day,
and Andrew, yeah. I don't think you go there very often. But me and Andrew go like weekly, and sometimes more than weekly.
Like I go to Carib, you know.
Yeah.
But Carib is always a bad experience. Think about how much money you spend at Carib for a shitty experience.
True, but like I'd.
It's bad.
It is bad. It's bad. It's difficult
You've just accepted the fact that it's bad.
Yeah. But it's also the only way that I can watch it.
Yeah. Right? And that is why you've accepted it.
There's a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
You can go watch it now. Or you can wait 6 months for the Blu-ray to
come. Right. And spend... How much is that Blu-ray? $25 brand new. Something like that,
but
right?
So is the movie ticket.
Right.
The movie ticket is like...
But...
$15.
If I could... Like, if I could build my own thing... I'd pay the money to get, like, to watch James Bond at home in my setup where there's no intermissions, there's no asshole sitting beside of me. Mm-hmm. There's a premium that I'd have to pay.
You wouldn't ask me over to come and watch
it. You're not the assholes I'm talking about. You'd have to pay $25, you'd have to pay regular ticket prices to come watch it. That's how I'm making back my money.
I might be willing to pay $40.
No, I'm saying that the ceiling for what I'd pay is $100, right? They're not going to charge you $40 to stay at home and watch a movie. For like, if it is a standard thing, $40 is too close to the ticket price, so there's no one would go to the theaters. And people just invite over a lot of people. Like, they're losing money that
this
way.
This is Jamaica we're talking about.
No, I'm talking work, because it wouldn't only be for Jamaica. I'm talking if they
first of standardize all, it wouldn't it. Be for Jamaica.
Yeah, it wouldn't be for Jamaica.
We'd have to put on some sort of proxy. Some right. level of proxy.
Don't tell them how we do it.
Torrents.
You're talking about rain, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
All the rain, right?
All the rain. Okay.
How would you? What are the words?
Just torrential flood. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know how we got onto this film. Film.
He said that he shot it in Love in 35, and I got upset. But I'm wrong, and I accept that. I don't like to do. It's just marketing. I get lost in the mind, come across the rhyme, kick my feet up. Then I find myself in time, I was on a train. Destination Molly Mall's domain. I entertain things and never be the same. DJs are conveyed up the label, okay. A Teddy Ted and Special K was the first ones to play it. On the radio with the crazy flow. I pay dues until it pays me dough to do a show. When I'm at the helm, I cover the whole realm. In control and leave your soul overwhelmed. Under the influence of beats and instruments, lyrics make it intricate and elements tense. When you was playing Pac-Man, it was the jams I packed. Peace was warm when I was performing Black and all that. Back before they turned hip-hop to rap, it was always a place to party at. Remember that? Remember that? Remember that?
Everybody come quick! Something's happened! No time to explain! Send out the email.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last week of the year.
Right.
Next week we're going to be doing our top 10 of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to spend a little time talking about the movies we saw this year.
I'm just kidding. No, I got it. Talking
about the movies we saw this year that we're not going to be talking about next week. The movies that weren't this year.
Right.
That we just watched naturally. Like, throughout the year, you just turn on your TV and you're like, oh, this old Western is on, and you watch it. And it becomes a new favorite movie that you see.
Bone Tomahawk.
So I wanted us to give a little time to that.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone want to start?
Bone Tomahawk.
That movie's this year. You have to wait till next week, Damien. Yeah. That movie can be your 10 through 2. And then number 1 is what we already
know. I love that movie. Well, so I guess I can go because I'll probably be the quickest. Because I haven't watched a lot of, non-podcast movies.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a couple of things. One, and I'm going to talk a lot about because it was a podcast movie, Streets of Fire is awesome. And I really enjoyed finding that movie. It's one of those where
you're a bad man.
I love finding movies like that too, where you're like, oh, I like this poster, or I like this soundbite, or whatever it is.
You realize you're the only person in the world that does that, right?
I'm pretty certain that's not why, the only person.
That's why I'm special.
That picks movies
so special,
by
so
the,
special.
He just
so
hasn't
special.
Found that other person.
Okay.
anyway, I also...
Can you imagine what that would be like?
Don't say that. It's not okay.
Also, what was the name of that movie that we watched? Was it Final Girls or Last Girl?
This year. Final Girls.
Yeah, no. I know that's this year, but because I watched that and I loved it so much, and then Damien just made the offhand comment.
Oh, you actually watched it?
Oh, yes. It's the guys who made Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which I had seen like the first 15 minutes of, but... kind of just threw it away and was like, whatever. But because of that, I actively sought out that movie. I watched it, and guess what, guys? It was pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Right? But really, there are two things that I want to talk about. One is the proper movie, right? And actually, I wonder if I can even call this one a proper movie. It's really just that it's old. Not that it's any sort of cinematic achievement, because I feel like this was just a regular action, well, not action, but blockbuster movie back in the day. But I finally watched The Great Escape this year, and I love that movie. I knew I would, because Steve McQueen is the best, and I need to find every movie that he's in and watch it. And it just had star after star, people that were, you know, just great in it, be it any of those people that are in that movie, because there are people with Australian accents who perhaps shouldn't have them. There are people with Russian accents who perhaps shouldn't have them.
Can we all agree that James Garner is the best part of that movie?
Yeah, James Garner is pretty good. And
that's also a movie I saw for the first time this year, and I agree.
It's super good. It's actually along the vein of his other movie that I love, Papillon, which is yet another serial escapist movie. But
are there as much shenanigans in Papillon?
Oh, Andrew. Damien, talk to him for a minute, please.
Okay.
but a movie is great. It's certifiably, like both of them, whichever one we want to talk about, certifiably just on point. But the dumb thing, the 5-year-old Douglas now is coming out.
Not Doug.
And the dumb thing that I have to say, because
we said don't trust children.
Yep. Don't trust children. Because I've seen these movies already. I've seen them a few times. Some more than others. Some only once by choice. But I revisited for some strange reason. I was probably just, you know, on my deathbed, I revisited The Impossible Mission Force. I rewatched the first four of those movies. Mission Impossible.
So all?
All of them, yes. Well, there is a fifth one now.
Oh.
And I really hope that... I wanted it for MI5, but they didn't do it. So I hope now for MI6 that, you know, it has to do with the British intelligence. It has to, MI6 actually comes into play. Anyway, I rewatched all of the earlier Mission Impossibles before the fifth one came out, and I understood something. They are all fantastic movies, and you know, I've spoken about this. I've spoken about this before in a podcast, but you know, I always loved the first one. I always love the third one, and I kind of like the fourth one. The second one, I hated for the longest time. And I had tried to stay as far away from the second one as possible.
Your apologies, welcome.
But I rewatched these movies, and even the second... these movies are just perfect. I mean, no, they're perfect. They are the best. From 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. And the next thing is Damien. No? Okay.
Spitting.
Fire. But yeah.
Blazing the hot shoes.
Mission Impossible movies are just great. I can't wait to actually buy them. I think I watched them a smattering between Netflix and stealing discs from Andrew. But I really need to get...
I need a new one.
Get those.
I need to keep that collection complete.
Oh, so good. But yes, that's what I discovered and rediscovered this year.
So I have a long list. I'm not going to name all of these.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't given them any sort of priority or order or anything, but I'm going to try and group as many as possible because some of them kind of work together. So, for example, at the beginning of the year, one of the filmmakers who I was recommended to take a look at, and I saw a good amount of his movies, like around 6 or 7, but I want to talk about these two specifically. He did a lot of silent movies. His name is Frank Borzage. Two of his movies that I completely loved, Moonrise and Seventh Heaven, deal directly with people's ambition and also in the war and in just life in general. And they are magical, they're fantastical, and they're just amazing to watch. We haven't talked about many silent films. Have we talked about any on this podcast?
We did.
We did?
Mm-hmm. There was that one that won all the awards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, that is true. That was a silent movie.
It was.
But they did talk at one point.
Sure, they did.
The
Artiste.
Those movies are great. Two music documentaries. I saw this year, which are fantastic. One being The Last Waltz, which is the final performance of The Band. The Band is actually called The Band.
From Sean Puffy Combs? The Band?
It was directed by Martin Scorsese.
And
it features a lot of great artists. And this is the perfect movie for Douglas.
Why don't you think that Martin Scorsese... The skeezy, uh-huh. Skeezy Weezy wouldn't wouldn't direct The Band.
That's another one.
You mean score skeezy?
You realize that he directed Michael Jackson in The Bad video. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's only a half step away.
This is
that was 100 years ago when he was a desperate man.
This was a performance which included the likes of Bob Dylan. It included the Dr. John, it included Eric Clapton, all sorts of names and faces, which are fantastic to see, and it was just a great performance to hear. Another documentary was Gimme Shelter, which a lot of people talked about throughout the year because of the passing of Mazels, the director. And it was actually a documentary where I wasn't on board with it. It's about the Rolling Stones tour.
I thought that was a skeezy... Join.
No.
No?
Albert Mazels. And I wasn't totally on board with it, but there is something that happens towards the end of the documentary, which I think it might be one of the most shocking things I've seen in movies this year. And I really don't want to spoil it for people, so I'm not going to talk about it too closely. Talking about movies that have their moments that pivot a movie from being just normal to being like completely fascinating and moving on from that point, I caught up with a movie from last year that we didn't get around to watching, the Swedish film Force Majeure. Have you guys seen this movie?
Not even heard of this movie.
So
I know it because Andrew's been... For a long time, from even before you watched it, he's been like, I hear this is the best movie ever, but I just...
So, the basic idea of this movie is, what do you do, like, as a family, mm-hmm. when you discover that an important person in your family is actually a coward? Like, a legit coward.
Tease him for the rest of his
but
days.
But what if you discover this in the most serious of scenarios?
Nothing changes.
And it just pivots from that point on in just mm-hmm. drama. And it's amazing. I love that movie. There were movies like The Great Escape. I finally saw Miller's Crossing, which is fantastic. But I'm with you now, Damien. I'm joined the team. Like the...
Dude, this podcast.
We talked about Orpheus.
Yes, Doug. Have you seen it? Nope.
We're talking about Orpheus, which is a great movie. One of the filmmakers who I've been told to look into, and this is the only one of his movies I've seen thus far, is Ernst Lubitsch. And I finally got to watch To Be or Not to Be, which I actually saw before, the year before. I saw the remake with Mel Brooks, and I thought it was fantastic. So like, my brain already had it in Mel Brooks mode. I'm like, how can I go back? But this movie's kind of great. It felt like the best kind of drama comedy. I guess we call them dramedies now.
No, we don't.
It never feels like it has to stop for a joke, but at the same time, it's
a comedy drama.
It never makes you feel like things don't matter. Because it's set in wartime, and it's about this theater troupe, and they do a Hamlet scene, which is when a guy goes off to go and talk to his wife, and all sorts of things happen. And it's amazing. Sometimes you feel like you're watching a Jack Benny sketch, and it's great. Not many others I want to talk about, but one specifically, which I know if you guys haven't seen, you have to check out this movie. It's called The Hit. It stars
Mark Wahlberg.
No. No.
Yes. Is The Hit big?
If it isn't, it should be.
Then it should be.
It stars one Mr. Terence Stamp. It is a British movie about a criminal who is a part of a crew that performs a robbery, and then he snitches.
Snitches get stitches.
Said crew. And then he absconds away to the Caribbean or somewhere.
He's a pirate.
And then it becomes about the hit to go and get him, right, where they hire hitmen to go and take him out.
Is there a Trace Buster?
No, there is no Trace Buster. Neither any Trace Buster Buster.
Is the hitman well-dressed and close-shaven?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Does he have a red tie?
No.
Nah.
This movie's from 1984. It's directed by Stephen Frears, the guy who gave us Dirty Pretty Things.
Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Wait. Dirty Pretty, as in
Chewy.
Right, yeah. Yes. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah. And so much of this movie.
Yeah.
So much of this movie is just you staying with Terence Stamp and the hitmen, because they kind of end up being in a transportation mode, so it becomes slightly a road movie. Because it's not just, oh, we found you, shoot. there are more stipulations.
There are, I've seen you.
Personalized
shooting time.
This guy, the desires.
But hold on, speaking of hitmen, does Luther count, given that, you know, it started in like 10 years ago?
No.
Because if it does, then
Luther.
Yeah, Luther.
Then Luther.
Have you watched it yet, Damon?
Nope. I was waiting for the second episode to come out.
Oh yeah, it came out.
To watch it with my sister.
Yeah, so there are a few others, but that's all I'm really going to mention at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because my list is long.
Can I talk about...
Andrew watched both episodes, I think, Christmas Eve, so it's been out for a couple of...
Yeah, I know. I was just waiting for a chance to watch it with my sister. Mm-hmm.
Damon is laughing because he sucks at movies.
Oh, God. Alright. I missed that with a movie that I finally got to saw. It's OSS 117. James Bond was coming out this year, and I've already seen all the James Bond movies. OSS 117 is a James Bond movie from the 60s. It was made in 2010. Except the guy isn't British. But none of the people are British.
I know exactly what that movie is. I haven't watched it.
It
I know what that movie is.
Hilarious.
Douglas would have, from the concept, I think Douglas would enjoy.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to watch this movie as soon as we come back from our top 10, because it is... There's more of them, which is the part that I'm afraid of. Yeah. It is It is spectacular.
They made more than one.
Yeah, there's.
I assumed it was just the one.
Mm-mm.
I know this guy, Jean Dujardin.
Yeah, he was in the silent movie.
It's pretty good. And
Secret Agent.
Yep. Like, I don't want to give any of it away because I want you guys to watch it.
Beds local beauties.
Uh-huh.
And brings peace to the Middle East.
Yep.
Oh, this is perfect.
Douglas, you have no idea.
Can we just promise to watch it, like, in the next week or two? Yeah. And you won't force us to talk about it?
Sure, that's fine. Okay. A movie that I came around on the first time I saw it, I was not having it at all. But then I watched it again and turns out it's a really good movie. Disney,
oh, wow.
Disney put out Big Hero 6 late last year.
Oh,
and I was not having it with that movie at all. I don't know why though. Because when I rewatched it, everything came together. It's just...
Because that movie's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun as shit. Yeah. You just watch it with a smile on your face. And the robot is classic. Like, everything about it feels like a Disney movie. And I don't know what happened the first time I saw it. But I came around to it. It's pretty good. I want to talk about Nightcrawler just because that movie is too good. It's too good. I've seen that movie maybe 20 times at this point. I really, really do love that
Can
movie.
We talk about Kung Fury? Because the original trailer came out about five years ago.
I think we've talked enough about it. I have to keep my FP and Kung Fury chatter to a minimum. As I can imagine, it's annoying.
Speaking of which, Andrew, have you heard back from the McNeil clan on the Kung Fury?
I haven't pressed it yet. Because... Oh. I just got word that he finally saw Rocky IV, and he's not happy.
How can he not be happy? Rocky defeated Russia.
He's not happy.
That's four, right? That's a fourth one. Russia.
He used some words that involved bulls.
There's a movie that, there's two movies that I had to change my opinions on. Read Their Goodness, but in the opposite direction this time. One is acceptable. Like, I shouldn't have liked this movie to begin with. A couple of years ago, a director that we love, but only for one movie, put out a movie called The Immortals.
Oh, yeah.
I may have watched that again.
Why?
Having seen the man from Uncle and Superman, I went, I should watch him. And it's that guy that made that movie that I love. And
Oh no. The graphics.
Jeez, it is.
I told you The Immortals was horrible.
It is a train wreck.
It is.
I don't know how he got the Superman job. Because that movie is no bueno. It's bad. Like, it looks bad. There's a lot of slow-mo shenanigans. But the action also is bad. And there's no story. It is...
Can Tarsem please just do what...
Yeah, just do what we want.
Yeah.
I think you fall guys want him to just stop. So you can say one good thing and then the percentage doesn't go down too far.
I love The Fall forever. It doesn't matter how much garbage he puts up. I rewatched a Ryan Reynolds movie that we all liked.
Really? Which one is that?
Paper Man.
I haven't gone back to that one.
Where
the one with Jeff Daniels.
Yep.
He's a superhero.
Yeah, and Emma Stone was in it.
She was
the girl in it.
Okay. And Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yep.
It wasn't Gwyneth Paltrow. It was Lisa Kudrow.
Lisa Kudrow.
My bad.
That movie ain't great.
Really?
Like at all.
Ooh.
Like not at all. Like I wanted to like it because all of the people were in there. Yeah, I remember liking this movie. and I sat down with people and hit play. No, dog. Mm-mm.
They were not appreciative of your...
Wow. I had to apologize to people. All right, listen. I remember. Like, this movie, like what part exactly did you...
Superhero voice? Don't the voiceover?
Just backpedaling. Like, no, the movie gets better. No, it does not. No, it does not. I finally sat down and I watched In Time. Justin Timberlake's Magnum.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah. Ooh.
I expected it to be a lot worse. I will say, I came away from that movie not being upset. Sure, that might have been expectations played against the actual quality of the movie. But I must say, if I were to rank it, say, out of 4, it would be a 2 out of 4.
Well done, sir. You managed to find the way to not hate the worst movie.
I thought that movie was going to be... Like, there's dumb shit in that movie.
American Ultra is better than that movie.
No. I will punch you in the face.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is better than that movie.
When was the last time you saw it in time?
When it came out. And guess when it's the next time watching it.
The first and second of February. What I expected... was American Ultra. I expected a movie to be on fire. The premise is the dumbest premise I've ever heard. The premise and the whole robbing time from a time bank. Alright. Them some bad ideas. Everything else about the movie though was okay. I like the dynamic. I like the world that they established. You know, the hierarchy, just people with zillions of time. Like, they don't explain any of it, which helped me to, like, continuously laugh. Mostly at the movie and not really with the movie. But I did not come away hating any of the movie. It was just a dumb, funnish, action-ish type movie. With this sci-fi twist. That I think may have gotten too much. Like, Justin Timberlake was in that movie. So you guys should have adjusted expectations accordingly.
There was Cillian Murphy, though.
I like Cillian. He was in Tron. So that, I mean, he's done a lot of bad things.
I guess he was in Batman, so.
Justin Timberlake was in that movie about...
Black Snake Moon.
Oh my god. Why can't I remember anything about this movie now? I can't remember the name of the guy. The music with John F. Kennedy needing to be saved from space aliens.
You're talking about Inside Llewyn Davis,
yes. Oscar Isaac. I couldn't even remember Oscar Isaac's name.
It's where Adam Driver talks about his willingness to be in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Two people talking about. Alright. This is probably be the last movie I talk about.
Scroll.
Hey man, you watch too many movies.
Letterboxd made this really easy.
Yeah, it did. That's what I did right before.
Because this year I've been more aggressive in making myself add tags to every movie I log. I just clicked on the tag 2015 first time on, and everything was non-2015 movies.
Oh, wow.
All right.
That I saw for the first time. Could just go through and be like, that one.
All right. The Limitless TV show came out this year.
Oh, my goodness. Are we about to...
Hold on. I watched.
Do I need to leave the room?
No, you
I
don't.
Feel like,
no.
I feel like you two.
Just relax.
I feel like you two are going to bond. Just fall in love over this show.
Just relax.
Because if you're raising this, it means you probably like it. And right. Andrew likes this movie beyond understanding.
You don't seem to realize he hated the movie.
Just hold on.
He made fun of me for liking that movie.
I watched the first episode of the TV show and went, yep, same fucking garbage as that shitty movie. But there's people in my house that continue to watch the TV show. And the TV show, I don't know if it's good, but I keep watching it.
I like how it gets more fun. There's a first Beulah episode.
It gets increasingly more ridiculous. But my favorite part of the TV show is watching the other people around him doubt whether or not. So there's like police agents and like other smart people. But because he is super genius, man, everyone now doubts whether or not they're good at anything that they do, because there's this one super smart guy around them at all times, which is this weird dark tone that is going throughout the TV show. You just watch people increasingly get more and more wary of whether or not anything they think makes sense, despite the fact that they're clearly good at their jobs because of this one guy.
On drugs.
But the TV show still has the same problem as the movie. But I didn't remember why I hated the movie.
So you went back and you watched the movie?
Went back and watched the movie. The movie is even worse. But the TV show holds up. This is not a recommendation.
Damian, Andrew watches that TV show religiously. Andrew loves that TV show. Andrew runs into the house like a schoolgirl on the day when that TV show is playing.
I don't know if it's
so
good.
So that he can watch that television
Douglas,
show.
Douglas, like, I should have stopped watching this TV show a long time ago. Limitless is the name of it. And the movie it's based on is the worst. But the TV, there's something there. But I don't know if it's good.
Okay.
But I like it. I know I like it.
I will get out of here and leave you guys to it.
Absolutely not.
The love affair has just begun. Goodbye.
Limitless continues to be. Like, it's so dumb. It is a thing. Like, they have the cool transition shots that they do throughout the movie. But it might be. Like, the. When normally when I say a movie is dumb and stupid, I usually mean, like, it's a general bad. Limitless is the only one that I mean intellectually. Like, it, whoever wrote this movie is an idiot.
You mean Bob Orsi?
Whoever it is.
The guy who writes Transformers.
Clear. Alright, fine.
And Star Trek.
The things that are up here don't work well. Because nothing that happens in that movie makes any logical sense. Even without the drug that makes you the smartest person in the world. So when you add that to it, the movie, like, it is just infuriating watching this movie be dumber than the guy that has all the sense in the world. Like, he went on trips across the world, made so much money, and then went back to his shitty apartment literally for no reason. So just so that the movie could continue. This movie is dumb.
Let me tell you three movies that this guy has coming out. The guy who wrote Limitless TV show as well as Transformers, so you can look forward to them.
Right.
Because you're still watching Limitless. Right. There is the TV movie called Exit Strategy.
Can't wait.
Right. There is Star Trek Beyond.
Word.
And there is also Van Helsing.
They're making another Van Helsing movie?
Why wouldn't they? The last one was so good.
Is it further to the last one? Is everybody back?
I think they're going to distance themselves so far away from that movie.
I think this is part of Universal's monster.
Hugh Jackman was in it, right?
Yeah, it was Hugh Jackman.
So, yeah.
No, so this is all over. But they're doing like what they did with the
Marvel Cinematic Universe, yeah. so with monsters.
Last year was the Dracula one that you saw. This year was a Frankenstein one that I saw. And I know that they're working on a Invisible Man and a Mummy and a Wolfman.
Wow.
And I guess Van Helsing is somewhere in the middle of all of this.
But didn't they just do the Wolfman?
And it made 13 cents. Remember? It was bad.
So basically they saw what Marvel did and went, we can do that for our monsters.
Right.
So basically look at the Monsters TV show. All of those guys.
But wouldn't Van Helsing come and murder all of them? as that is his job.
I guess. So next you're going to see Dracula get shot by Van Helsing.
Fine. I'll watch that. Do they own Godzilla?
No.
Damn it.
Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
Can we talk about Godzilla?
We can talk about Godzilla. Would you like to talk about Godzilla? Or would you like to watch Godzilla?
We could talk about Magic Mike.
We could talk about Magic Mike. We could talk about men dancing in convenience stores to make random women smile. You can do that next week. Next week, David. You get next week, and then that's it. So, savor it. Like, think about what you're gonna say.
I've seen that movie 6 times. From start to finish. I'm not even cutting out any other movie. I'm not fast forwarding to the fun third. I'm like watching all of that movie.
I think
excuse I can find.
Two movies I've watched the most this year that came out this year are Mad Max and Ant-Man. And both of those I think I've seen 4 times.
Have I watched Mad Max again? No, I haven't. I started watching because I got the 4 movies. And I started rewatching from the beginning. So I have actually watched Mad Max, the first one. Then I watched Road Warrior as the second one. Yeah, so I watched that one.
And then the Thunderdome.
I'm yet to watch Thunderdome.
And then Furiosa.
Yeah.
you know, it's the one TV show this year that I wonder if we talk about. You're the Worst.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen the second season yet? All right, we'll leave it alone then.
I haven't seen any of that TV show.
Really? So you haven't? You
never seen
it? Skipped it?
I don't want to build it up, but it's so good.
I haven't seen any of it.
Come on, check it out.
So, all right. It's Christmas time. It's not like I have anything else to watch.
There's no TV shows.
I've been watching Truth Be Told. It's
what's that?
Remember that guy from Saved by the Bell? What's his name?
Which one, Zach?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He and
some black guy. I saw a picture of him. I guess it was about a new TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's not great, but it's fun.
So I guess his other show got cancelled. He was in a lawyer show.
Yeah, that Nicholas
watched it.
Frank and Bash.
Some shit like
that is done.
Okay.
Battle Creek got cancelled, which made me sad.
Yeah, but at least I got to watch all of Battle Creek, which is fun. They didn't like cut it off 4 episodes in when it was clear that TV show was going to be cancelled. Better Call Saul.
I was actually thinking about that show during the movie, Good Night Mommy.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a bit where
which
they take
show?
The
Better Call Saul?
Yeah, no, Battle Creek.
Oh, okay.
There's a moment where they take the baby monitor and put it on the bed. And I was thinking about the first episode of Battle Creek, where they're like, "We don't have any money," and they get a baby monitor for the
instead of the
a wire,
just as a baby monitor.
They paste a baby monitor to the bottom of a table.
So good.
And then of course the battery dies, so it goes doo doo during the whole sting operation. And then there's
and
a
I
fight.
Like the song for that TV show too, the opening song. That a TV show that I watched this year.
Better Call Saul.
Right, that
I'm
is
catching
coming
up
back.
On the Nick because I didn't.
Fear the Walking Dead was awesome.
Oh, I haven't seen
cool,
any of that.
I still haven't tried to watch more of Into the Badlands.
I watched the first 2 episodes, so I know I'm one episode ahead of you. But
what's it about?
It's the worst.
Oh, alright, good.
It's like you know what it feels like.
TV show that no one should watch?
Oh, I started watching that one 100 years ago and didn't. But, no, so I've gotten sucked into this world a few times in terms of the book world. But, you know, books like Lord of the Rings, books like Game of Thrones, books like my favorite, Wheel of Time. It feels like that shit. It feels like they've started from a comic book or from some fantasy book and they have all of these, like, types of people, so they have barons and they have what are they called? Andrew the Killer people,
witchers.
They're like
I watched the first episode when it aired,
or whatever. They all have like names for classes of people, and it's clearly like in another world, you know. And it's the dumbest thing ever. I feel well, it's I think 7 episodes in, I'm only 2.
It's done at 6 because it did the Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead thing where they're like, we're testing out the waters for the first season.
Okay, fair enough. So that just goes to show how confident I am in this show. But
Preacher will be coming out soon.
Yes, that's true. Preacher will be coming out soon. So right, hopefully that's good. So
the TV shows this year that wowed me, there's Togetherness.
Yeah,
HBO show.
Love that show. I liked 6 episodes and then the last couple. I was not happy enough.
Better Call Saul.
Yep.
I honestly didn't expect it to be that good. I thought it would be kitschy.
Spin-off. Yeah.
But you know what was great? Casual was great.
Right.
I love Casual.
Casual was great. It's a Hulu show.
Didn't see it.
You know it was a show I enjoyed, but I know none of you guys are going to watch it and I wouldn't ask you to really. Project Greenlight came back. There's something about watching somebody, because you guys have made jokes to me for the last like 4 or 5 years of me being corporate Andrew, where you're like, how haven't you been fired for all of these stories you're telling me about shit you do at work? This is a TV show about someone doing everything possible to be fired, but regardless, he's not. And you're just watching him keep pushing his boundaries. Forget about the behind the scenes thing where you're watching a movie being made part. Just watching the narrative of this one guy who's gotten this shot to make a movie, and then at every crossroad he's made it the most difficult experience for everyone who actually knows what they're doing. It was kind of a crazy thing to watch. Like, I just, like, on a whim, I decided to, because I don't even remember if I really watched it when it used to happen before. Also, I went and I watched the movie that they made, because they show it, like, the week after on HBO. The movie is horrendous. It's called The Leisure Class.
Yep, that's okay.
And it reminded me the thing that I heard Toblowski say about making movies, where he knew what movies he was making would turn out to be horrible because he would see how much fun he had making them. And if he had too much fun, he'd be like, this is going to be bad.
Yep.
If he had no fun, it's going to be something great. And anytime I saw like an actor in the behind the scenes, they were dying. They were great.
You know, Netflix has been on fire this year. So
Master of None.
Yeah. I was gonna end with that, but that show, Andrew, is
special. Have you tried it?
I'm three episodes in. I still don't know what the fuck. I'm sorry. Shouldn't do that. I'm 3 episodes in. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Well, no. If you're that far in and you don't like it, then just stop.
Bomb out.
Yeah. But I love that show. Also, the Marvel shows were pretty good.
Did Unbreakable come out? Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt came out.
Yeah, that came out.
God damn, I love that
season. That show I wasn't a big fan of.
It is delicious.
What show I really did like, but for some reason still haven't finished yet, is Bloodline. Have you watched any of you watched Bloodline?
I've seen a couple episodes.
I've seen like 3 or 4 episodes. I really
like
that show.
Especially, I like the Australian guy in it. He's not Australian. He's American in the show, but he's really Australian. He's great.
He's the one who murders everyone in that movie.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's the son of a bitch.
I like True Detective season 2.
I keep wanting to rewatch that movie and I keep forgetting.
Which one?
Tyrannosaur?
No. Is it the one with the brothers?
All the brothers. And it's the one where we discovered
Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom. I keep wanting to go back to that movie and I just don't.
What other shows? Do you like F for Family?
I've watched 3 episodes and I don't think I can go anymore. Yeah,
it's only like 6 episodes. I finished it and I was like, oh, thank Christ. So the first episode I really like because it was, you know, it was funny. Bill Burr, and it reminded me of my dad. And I was like, that's funny. The rest of the show is kind of just not good.
So there's this TV show called Limitless. I think it's really fun.
Don't watch it. It's a trap.
There's that movie too that came out this week. That's pretty great.
What movie?
Is there any show?
Star Wars.
Oh,
because it's a trap.
God damn it.
Shows that came back which we loved. Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
Rick and Morty.
The Flash.
Flash Beach.
That show that I watch with the Flash, but I really don't like that much.
The green guy with the face and the arrows. I liked True Detective season 2.
I want to watch
it. You again. All watched it incorrectly and are upset.
I need to watch it again. I need to watch it again.
Freaking love it.
You know what? I haven't watched.
Did you finish watching that show called something like Show Me a Hero?
Yes, I did.
Was it good?
I liked it. Yeah.
What about Heroes Reborn, guys? We all got in.
You know what show I want to watch? You've seen it, and you talked very lovingly about it at one point. I don't know if you still loved it at the
Two
end.
Two Broke Girls.
Mr. Robot.
Oh yeah.
Still haven't
tried
it. Super good.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be on USA. But yeah.
Apparently he is back on board. He's mm-hmm. super directing all of the episodes for next year, so I'm
his name Sam Email.
Esmail. I think it's probably pronounced Esmail or something. I'm sure. Like, but yeah. It's email with an S in there.
Sammy E.
So yeah, that's TV this year. You should really try out You're the Worst. Like, I don't know how that
went past. Yeah, I need to watch that on F4 Family. Bill Burr, I don't want to.
I know.
You can err all you want. Like, I tried watching the Jimmy African show, couldn't do it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there is that. There's but, that one. But again, yeah, I was just like F4 Family, but not as harsh. I really loved the first two episodes of Jimmy African, and then the rest of it, it's like maybe I realized something or what it was, but I was just like, oh, this show isn't that good. But as it got closer to the end, it kind of ramped back up a little bit for me. But more
I love
like,
that Bible episode.
Yeah, more like it was okay. So I was not a big fan, but it was alright. Yeah. I didn't mind.
So yeah, You're the Worst. The first season is on its own. It's kind of like True Detective to me. The first season is like out and out great at what it's doing. And it's very normal in its ways of mm-hmm. being its own fun. The second season takes some turns and it does a lot of weird things, but I appreciate it a lot.
What about Community season 6? No? Am I the only one?
I feel like that was forever ago.
Dog, trust me.
Was that this year?
Probably.
Anyways, Rick and Morty, dude. Tiny Rick.
You guys still haven't watched a single episode of Empire, have you?
No.
I do not plan
to. I've ignored it. Is it good?
Seems racist.
Is it good?
The second season is not. The first season really is. Really good.
Look, I have to watch Mr. Robot.
That's racist. That's
why
that is.
Why? Because
I right, you don't want to watch a TV show with black people.
Okay.
You have better things to do.
Yeah.
Andrew has witching to do.
Witching, that too. don't distract me from the witching.
I got witching to do.
Yeah, and that was the Unnamed Movie Podcast. As usual, you can hear us over at gmanreviews.com or through iTunes and Stitcher. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at GNRManReviews. Next week, we're going to be talking about our top 10 films of the year gone by. You're hearing a lot of background noise because I'm recording this outro separately. But thanks so much for listening. Next year is going to be a great year of podcasting. We've got lots of things planned. And hopefully, it all works out and I don't go crazy like I did this year gone by. But yeah. Thanks for listening. Have a good night. If your eyes agree, you'll be toasting my health. If an interest in gorgeous should be lining the walls, when your birthright is interest, you could just put off.